Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Since today is Mother's Day, I want to talk just a minute to the mothers. My sermon is sort of geared that way, but everybody can listen. Fathers and grandparents, everybody can listen. Young people, future mothers, all that kind of stuff. I went through my notes. You know, this is my last Mother's Day, and so I went through, hopefully not my last Mother's Day, but as pastor, I hope to live a little longer. I went through all my notes, and I looked through the sermons that I'd preached on Mother's Day before and things like that, and I came across this one little thing that I did a couple of years ago, and I decided to do it again this year, so here we go. Mothers, all you mothers out there, I want you to take just a minute and imagine your child in hell. I know you don't want to do that. I don't blame you. I don't either. Fathers, grandparents, you can do the same thing. But would you do that for just a minute this morning? Just imagine for just a minute your child, your children, your grandchildren in hell, in the eternal flames that burn forever and never consume. In the pain and the torment and the screams and the horrors of hell. Imagine them there for just a minute. If I ask, I'm sure there wouldn't be a mother or father or grandparent or aunt or uncle or anybody else who would want their children to be in hell. So, Mom, what are you doing about it? We think a lot of things are important in this society, and I suppose a lot of things are important. We think it's important to have enough money to have your kids to have the right clothes or some clothes, have food on the table, cars in the garage, a garage to put cars in, all that kind of stuff, to be fashionable, to be up to date on all those sorts of things. And all those things, I suppose, are important to some degree. But what are you doing about the spiritual condition of your children? Mother, you can teach your children about Jesus. You can show them the love of Jesus. You can show them what it means to be a true, genuine Christian woman who puts God first above all things and above all people. Are you doing that? When your children look at you and look at your life, what do they see? Do they see a genuine Christian woman? I want to talk this morning about a woman in the scripture who chose to follow God, who taught her children the ways of God. Her name is Jochebed. We're not going to read her name. It's not recorded in the passage that we're going to read about her, but her name is Jochebed, and she was the mother of Moses. Exodus chapter 2, the first four verses. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. I chose Jochebed this morning because she was a godly mother in a very ungodly world. And moms, that's your task today, to be a godly woman, a godly mother in a very ungodly world. The first thing I want us to notice about her are her circumstances. Jochebed lived during the time when the nation of Israel were slaves in Egypt. God had blessed them even as slaves, and they had multiplied greatly. Their numbers had increased greatly, so much so that the current Pharaoh was worried that if there was an enemy invasion, that the people of Israel might side with whoever was invading them because they were slaves and fight against Egypt. So he decided to make their life more difficult than it already was. Exodus chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor." That means harshness. And they, listen to this. "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor, with harshness." Now, it wasn't just the men. It was the women and the children. They all were slaves. They all worked either in mortar and brick or in the field, whatever their job was. They all did it, and they all served with harshness. Egypt, the Egyptians, made their lives very bitter. That's the world that Jochebed lived in. But no matter the harshness that the Egyptians tried to create, the Israelites continued to multiply. They continued to grow. Their numbers continued to grow. So Pharaoh commanded the Hebrew midwives. He said, listen, when the Israelite women begin to give birth, if it's a boy, I want you to kill it. Partial birth abortion. We read that in Scripture and we think how horrific that was. But now you know it's a woman's right to choose. The midwives told Pharaoh, they said, well, you know, the Israelite women are so lively. The Bible calls them lively. And said that before we can get there, they've already given birth. So we can't kill them. It wouldn't be partial birth abortion. It would just be murder, which is what it would have been before. So Pharaoh issued a decree. Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, this is what happened. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Every Israelite boy that was born was to be thrown into the river. If the Israelites wouldn't do it, the Egyptians would. Those are the circumstances under which Jochebed was pregnant with Moses and gave birth to Moses. That brings us to her priorities. And Christians, mothers, fathers, whoever you are, Christians, would you please listen closely to this? Not because I'm saying it, but because the Bible teaches it, okay? Other Israelite mothers took their sons, if you can imagine this, other Israelite mothers took their sons and either threw them into the river or gave them to the Egyptians, who would throw them into the river. A newborn baby boy, throw it into the river, of course it would die. They would drown, or they would be eaten by the animals in the river or along the river bank, whatever it was. It was certain death. They were slaves. I suppose that maybe that was their excuse. Well, I'm a slave and I'm a woman. And Pharaoh's in charge. He's the big boss. He's the ruler of Egypt. And, you know, if I'm afraid of Pharaoh, if I don't kill my baby, Pharaoh's going to kill me. Jochebed had a different priority. She feared God. And she obeyed God. So she hid her child, Moses. Now, I want you to think, for just a minute, I want you to think about what courage that took for Jochebed to do that. You know, sometimes we read the stories in the Bible and we don't really think about the people involved or what their lives were like or what they were feeling or going through. I want you to think for just a minute. At the risk of her own life, Jochebed hid her baby boy. Pharaoh was the ruler. If he found out what she was doing, he would kill her and the child she was trying to protect. Might kill the rest of her kids. I don't know. Might kill her husband. Who knows what he would do? He was crazy. But in spite of that, she chose to obey God. She feared God, and by that I mean she revered God more than she feared Pharaoh. Her priority was God. So she hid her child. There would be nobody to defend her. If Pharaoh found out, there would be nobody to defend her. They didn't care about her. She was an Israelite. She was a slave. She was a woman. Probably none of the Israelites would defend her, with the possible exception of her husband. He might, but it wouldn't do him any good. She would be killed if Pharaoh found out. All throughout the Scripture, we are commanded as Christians to make God the priority of our lives above everyone and everything. And we're also commanded all throughout Scripture, the most repeated command in all of Scripture is fear not. And yet sometimes we get afraid of other people or other things, or afraid of embarrassment, social embarrassment, or afraid of persecution, or I don't know what we're afraid of, but we put other things above God. We let the fear keep us from doing what we know we ought to do. The very first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I know, listen, society is becoming more and more wicked. You don't need to tell me that. You live in it. I think it's very easy to imagine that the moment is coming, perhaps quicker than we think, when Christians will have to make a decision, when we will have to make a decision of whether or not to obey God or obey the laws of man. It'll be interesting, won't it, when that comes. That's where Jochebed was, and she chose to obey the laws of God. Jochebed also chose to obey God in the face of peer pressure. I don't think we consider this too much either. But would you think about the peer pressure that she must have faced? All of the rest of the Israelite mothers had either killed their children or allowed the Egyptian to kill them. Here's Jochebed. Here she is trying to keep her baby alive, trying to hide her baby so that the Egyptians won't find her baby boy. Some of the other mothers must have known. And her courage and her demonstration of her priorities that God was first must have made them mad. Maybe it made them feel guilty. They'd killed their kids. Maybe they felt guilt and remorse over what they had done. Maybe they were sorry they hadn't had more courage to do what Jochebed did. So they put the pressure on her. Listen, you need to be like everybody else. You need to kill your kid. I think every single day for those 3 months, Jochebed felt pressure from somebody to kill her child. Every time she went to the grocery store, the other mothers, Jochebed, you need to kill your boy. Now listen, all the rest of us have done it. You need to do it. You're going to get us all in trouble. You better get it done. When she went to church on Sunday morning, Jochebed, you need to kill your son. All the rest of us have done it. You're going to get us in trouble. When she went to the ball game, wherever she went, whenever she went, she got pressure. She probably had to hide Moses not only from the Egyptians, but from the other Israelites. Some of those mothers probably threatened her, I'm going to tell Pharaoh, or I'm going to tell the Egyptian guards, or I'm going to tell somebody if you don't kill your son. Usually when we think of peer pressure, we think of our young people and the peer pressure that they face, and it's tremendous. But I got news for you, young people. It lasts all of your life. There's always, as long as you have peers, there will be peer pressure. I know you mothers today are experiencing peer pressure to let your children be just like everybody else's children. Look like them, talk like them, act like them. Do whatever society deems is correct and right. Let them question whether a boy or a girl. God doesn't know what he's doing. You let them decide. Right? You experience the pressure. I experience the pressure as a father. I experience the pressure as a grandfather. You experience it as mothers and grandmothers. We experience it as Christians. Be like the world. The other day, I don't have a Facebook page, but Shara does, and I get on there to look for cars. Anybody got a car they want to sell, put it on Facebook, and I'll see it. And I got on there the other day, and I saw a post, and it was from the high school, all of the football players for next year, all the football players and all of their parents. There was a mandatory meeting Wednesday night for all the football players and their parents. One mother, bless God, bless her. One mother had responded. You know what she said? She said, Wednesday night is church night. My son and I will not be there. Just this morning in Sunday school, Susan was telling me about Mindy, and one of her sons was playing ball or something, I forget now what it was, and they scheduled games on Wednesday night. And Mindy called the coach and said, listen, I'm not trying to cause trouble. I don't want to be a malcontent, but Wednesday night is church night. And my son won't play. I want to tell you, Christian mothers, fathers, Christian people, listen to this. We gripe and complain about the wickedness of the world. We gripe and complain because they schedule ball games on Sunday and programs on Wednesday night, and the school has no respect for the church. We complain and we have done nothing about it. if we would stand like those two mothers and say, listen, my child will not be there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you plan it, they won't come. You know what had happened? They'd quit planning it. But they plan it because Christians will come. God help us. God forgive us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Sounded like I was mad, wasn't it? I was just a little bit. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them, and be ye separate. Take a stand for the Lord God Almighty. Jochebed did at the risk of her life. That brings us to her trust. Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months, and I guess he got old enough and loud enough. You know, little baby boys are loud. And she decided she couldn't hide him any longer, so she made a little boat for him. The Bible calls it an ark, and she waterproofed it, and she took that little baby boy, that little 3-month-old baby boy, and she put him in that little ark and put that ark in the river, on the river's brink. Exodus 2:3 says, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, here again, can you imagine how difficult that must have been for her? Mom, you remember your 3-month-old baby? She took that baby out and exposed him to the elements and to the wild animals. There were crocodiles in this river. He would be a quick meal for a crocodile. There are the other wild animals that would come to the river to drink water. That's where they watered. He would be a quick meal for some of those wild animals, besides just being exposed to the elements that he would be in. Imagine the trust that it took from Jochebed to take her child and place him out there and say, okay, God, here he is. Take care of him. You know the story. God did take care of him. God protected Moses. He caused Pharaoh's daughter to come by. Isn't God wonderful? Caused Pharaoh's daughter to come by. And you know how you ladies are with babies. She saw that little baby and she felt so sorry for that baby. Had pity. Well, I know what Dad says I'm supposed to kill him. But oh, look how cute he is and how sweet he is. Oh, he's gooing at me, grinning at me. Look at that. Oh. She hired Pharaoh's daughter, hired Moses' mother to take care of him. Isn't that nice? You know, we read verse 4, said his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. You know the reason the sister stood afar off to watch? Because Mom told her to watch and see what would happen. She expected God to do something miraculous. She trusted God to take care of her son, and she expected God to do something, and God did. So for however long, I don't know how long it was, Jochebed got to keep Moses until it was time to wean the child. Sometimes that would be 2 or 3 years old in that culture. And so for however long it was, she got to keep Moses. She got to take care of him. And you mothers know, boy, during that time, she formed a really strong bond with that baby. You know how strong that bond can be. And then the moment come when she's going to have to turn him over to Pharaoh's daughter. She's going to have to release him. He was going to go, and the rest of his upbringing would be in the palace of Pharaoh, among evil people, ungodly people. She had no control over what they would teach him, how they would treat him, what they would do to him. Had no control whatsoever at all. She just had, once again, she just had to trust God to take care of Moses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Christian, listen, life is full of things that we have no control over. Things that we don't understand. Things that don't make any sense to us. Sharon and I went to a Tim Hawkins concert Thursday night in Oklahoma City, and I don't tell you how many times I told Sharon, I just don't understand why people, you know, do whatever it is they do. I told her, I said, you know, if everybody just let me and you run the world, what a great place it would be, right? We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand why people do what they do. We certainly can't control it. But God is in control. And God knows and understands everything that is happening, not just to us individually, but to the world in general, as a whole. And so we have to learn to trust God. Oh, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? But we must learn, as Christians people, to trust God completely. That brings me to one final thing, and that's her work. I mentioned that Jochebed was given the opportunity to take care of Moses, and she was. And during that time, and again, I don't know how long it was, but during that time, listen, she taught him about God. She probably, if she had him long enough for him to be able to read a little bit and things like that, she probably made him memorize the Ten Commandments. Oh, what a mean mother she was. She made him go to church every Sunday morning. Sometimes he didn't want to. Sometimes he'd complain, but she made him go anyway. She said, as long as you live under my roof, she made him go on Sunday night. This woman made her son go on Wednesday night. Can you imagine the gall? She taught him about God. She showed him what it meant to be a Christian. She showed him what it meant to put God first. She told him God loved him. You know how I know that? I know that by the way that he lived his life after he left. I know that because God chose Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. That was because his mama taught him about God. Oh, I don't want to influence my children in their spiritual decision. Now that's up to them, Pastor. Bless your heart, no, it's not. It's up to mamas and daddies and Sunday school teachers and ministers and Christian brothers and sisters in Christ to tell our children about the Lord Jesus Christ. The time is going to come, Mom, Dad, the time is going to come when you have to release your kids out into the world. They're going to go to college. They're going to join the military. They're going to get married. They're going to get a job, whatever it might be. I know some of you think, oh, they're never going to leave, but one day they're going to leave. And you're going to have to release them out into this wicked, wicked, sinful world. When they get to be 4 years old, you got to send them, well, you don't have to, but you can send them to four-year-old preschool. When they get to be five, you got to send them to kindergarten. We've got a good school system here in Blackwell, and I'm thankful for the people who are in it. But listen, not everybody out there is a Christian. Not all the books they read, not all the lessons they're taught are Christian values. And oh my goodness. With the social media the way it is today, the wickedness of the world begins to infiltrate the life of your child very, very quickly. Take advantage of the opportunity that you have to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the Bible to them. Read the Bible with them. Pray for them and pray with them. When you do something in obedience to God, tell them why you're doing it. I'm doing this because I think this is what God wants me to do. I'm doing this because the Bible says I'm supposed to do this. Honey, you're not going to play the ball game because the Bible says you're supposed to go to church first. But Mom, all the other kids are playing. I know it, honey, and I'm sorry, but that's the way it's going to be. God is going to be first. And when they get a little bit older, they're going to be so thankful that you put God first. They may not tell you that, but they will be. And someday they may tell you, oh, listen, Mama, Daddy, I didn't understand what you were doing when you did it and I didn't like it, but now I got kids of my own. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you showed me the right way. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 say, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Wherever you are, whether you're sitting down or standing up, laying down, awake, in your house, in your car, on the job, in the school, in the church, wherever you are with your children, teach them about Jesus. And don't be a hypocrite. Show them what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. This world needs mothers and fathers and Christians who will make God the priority of their life absolutely, regardless of anything else, who will trust in the Lord with all of their heart, and who will do the work that God has for them to do. Will you be that person? Would you stand with me this morning? Sherry, would you come to the piano, please? Play a song of invitation. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. If you can't stand, it's okay. Just remain seated. In the book of Ezekiel, the Bible says, God says, I looked for a man among them to stand in the gap. A man, a woman, a person, to stand in the gap, to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and I found none. God is looking on the congregation of the First Free Will Baptist Church in Blackwell, Oklahoma, right here, right now, this morning, every person who is here. And He's looking for an individual to stand in the gap for this wicked world and to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Will He find you? Will you make the commitment right now? God first. God's work. Trust in God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You can be saved. God, listen, Jesus loves you. He died. He gave His life for you on the cross of Calvary so that you could have a relationship with Him and so that you could go to heaven. Would you like to be saved this morning? You can be. You come while Sherry plays.